Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. So I share blueprints and frameworks, ideas and strategies. I share some of the mistakes I've made and continue to make along the way, and some of the stories of what worked for me, all with this hope of providing some tools to help you along the way as well. I truly believe that when it comes to student voice and choice, it really begins with teachers who are willing to take the creative risk as well. And that's going to be important because this year, if your school year has already started, if it hasn't started yet, we know that it's going to be different. It's going to be a year unlike any other year before. And with that in mind, you know, we're going to be thinking about what does it mean to empower our students? So I'm going to be sharing a lot of different ideas in the upcoming weeks. I know in the last few months, I've shared a lot of different ideas as well. And my last podcast was all about this idea of how we can get to know our students, how we can build relationships. And today I want to kind of zero in on this a little bit more and talk about something in particular. It's the idea of doing frequent check-ins. But before we get there, I want to share a couple of different things. First thing is, if you're not familiar with my YouTube channel, I would love for you to check it out. Go to spencervideos.com. So that's one resource I thought I would share. Second thing I want to share is if you go to this particular blog post, you will find a link to a webinar, and just go check out that webinar. It's all about what it means to build a community in distance learning and hybrid learning environments. It's already been recorded. You'd be watching it on replay, but you know, it's something where I really flesh out these ideas in an interactive way and in a way that's a little bit longer. And then the last thing is I just want to tell you, in the next few weeks, or I would say the next month or so, look out for my book. It's going to be all about what it means to empower students in distance learning environments and in hybrid environments as well. So let's go ahead and get started. During the pandemic, students described feeling lonely and isolated as they shifted into these online environments. So much of the classroom experience is designed around face-to-face experiences, and this simply wasn't the case when we suddenly went to the pandemic pedagogy, the emergency remote teaching. Without the in-person interaction, students often felt like they were no longer connected to the larger classroom. And in some cases, students began to check out. Now, this isn't surprising. Over two decades ago, the researchers Anderson and Garrison demonstrated that success in online courses depended on the relationship students had between the content, the instructor, and fellow students in their class, right? When students fail to connect with the instructor or with their classmates, they disengage. And this disengagement results in lower attendance, lower assignment completion, lower achievement. Pretty much every metric possible, you see a decrease. Students learn less, they perform worse, and they're not connecting with others. But really, beyond performance, on a very human level, students need to connect relationally with their classmates and with their teachers. When schools shift to remote learning courses, certain students who would normally do well in person end up struggling to manage their time, and they fail to get started on their learning. They get distracted, and they don't develop deep work habits that can lead to success. Here, students might even fail to show up to the class video conferences or respond to teacher emails. They turn in work significantly late and at a lower quality than they would if they were in a physical classroom. Without the teacher present to be there as a reminder of accountability, students end up disengaging. In other words, they fail to connect with the content, the classmates, and the teacher, just like Anderson and Garrison predicted. And we see this all the time. We are fighting a battle for attention. Students often have, video games that they can play. They have shows they can binge watch. In some cases, they're experiencing trauma and they're pulling back. Some students are watching siblings or there's chaos going on in the house. And for all of these reasons, it's not uncommon for students in distance learning classes to pull back a little bit and not engage. And we can't completely control that. There's no foolproof way to just fix it. It's not how it works. But there are some specific things that we can do to create these frequent check-ins for students so that they feel known. And I want us to think about kind of the different types of check-ins that we might do. So these check-ins might be more personal. They might focus on social emotional elements like wellness, emotional status, social connectedness. This type of check-in can be as simple as, hey, how are you doing right now? Or how are you doing with distance learning? Or it might be something a little more in depth. It might be something where you talk to students, but also their caretakers. You might bring in a school counselor or a psychologist if it's more serious. But it can also be really lighthearted and not even seem like a social emotional check-in, right? It might be a short conversation about a student's life with a question like, hey, how is dance going for you? Or what are the video games you're into right now? And these little ways can just send the message to students that you care about them and that you care how they are doing. And so that's the first kind of check-in that you might do. The second kind is more academic. Here the check-ins have much more of an academic focus. You might ask students about questions where you want to know how they're doing in their hybrid learning experiences, how they're navigating the courses, how they're managing their time, how they're handling their workload. And notice this is still pretty personal, but it also takes on an academic component. This often, this is what happens when you address issues of late work or a lack of engagement. And in these moments, it's important that you listen first and then you help students develop a plan of action later. I too often will jump in with a solution and try to tell students what to do, but it's really important to just spend some time in this check-in just listening to how they're doing. In some cases, you might ask students about the social elements of school, including how they're getting along with their group members or how connected they feel to the larger classroom community. In some cases, though, these academic check-ins might relate more closely to specific class assignments or projects. You might provide some targeted help for students who are struggling. You might need to clarify misconceptions and provide students with additional resources or scaffolds. You might even help them set their own goals and monitor their progress. And so the way I like to picture it is sort of a continuum from personal to academic. And on the more personal side, you have social-emotional check-ins, followed by check-ins that focus on students' course experiences, and then moving toward like setting goal setting and how they're doing mixed with a definite academic focus. And then on the furthest side of academic, you just have targeted help and tutoring where you are just keeping it fully academically focused. And there's no wrong or right way to do this. Some students need a little bit more personal help. Some students need a little bit more academic help. And ultimately, that's where you, as the teacher, are the expert. So with that in mind, I wanted to share 9 different virtual check-in options. The first one is the social-emotional pulse check. You can do this as a warm-up activity in your video conferences and class meetings. You might begin with an open-ended question like, how are you handling hybrid learning right now? Or what is it like for you to be learning from home? Students might meet with small group breakout rooms if it's online or do their answers in a chat. They might also talk in person, but at a 6-foot distance because we're in the middle of quarantine right now. Other times you might create a more structured pulse check with something like, tell me 2 wins for this week and 1 disappointment. It can be creative, where you have students come up with their superhero name, or their band name. And you can find these on my Instagram. I have a couple examples. Some teachers will have students do an emoji check-in, where they ask students, how they're doing, and they just get a quick pulse check that's visual and it's fun. Others have created emotion charts, right, where it shows that certain facial expressions based on pop culture references. I know of a teacher, for example, that has, like, I swear, it must be 15 different faces that Nicolas Cage makes, and students have to select which one they're feeling for that day. You know, and it's their, I think this teacher calls it a cage check, but you get the idea. The second approach that you can do is video updates. This starts with a teacher-created video. You do a quick video. You talk students through, you know, what the course is going to be this week, what the lessons are going to be, what the assignments are going to be. And then you have something, a prompt, a question that you ask, and you have them email an answer to a question that's a little more focused on just the check-in. It could be, how are you doing academically? What's confusing for you? Help me clarify the course. But it could also be, you know, how's life? Just tell me how that's going. How are you handling quarantine right now? And that video update becomes an invitation, and you actually require students to watch the video, but then in the video you actually say, I want you to email me and let me know how you're doing. And while it helps for to create videos for students, option number three is a different kind of video check-in. This is where we encourage students to create their own video reflections and post them to Flipgrid or email them directly to teachers. You might give students a specific like social-emotional learning prompt or academic goal-setting prompt, and then have them share their thoughts. And what I love about this is with video, you get to have body language and voice. But at the same time, because it is a pre-recorded video, they can re-record it ahead of time and go back and make sure it looks right. So there's a sense of, I guess, control that they have over that process. So students can film the video. They don't like it, they refilm it. They don't like it, they refilm it. Then they find the one they like, and they send it via email or post it to Flipgrid. Option number four is the small group check-in. This is when you schedule a video conference meeting. If it's online, if it's in person, you have students create small groups. There's a lot of different options on how you do this. I love, for example, the mastermind group that focuses on project progress and goal setting, and that one has more of an academic focus. But you can also have it a little more open-ended and run it like a peer advisory / check-in process. And what I love about this is you can have all the different groups meeting, and then you just sit in on different groups at different times, but you don't say anything. You're actually allowing the check-in to be between each other. All right, so then the next option is the email check-in. And the email check-in is just where you send an email, you put it into a template, and you personalize it a little bit for each student. And then you can send them out to all of your students. I have found one-on-one check-ins to be really helpful. This works great if you have like 20 students or 30 or even maybe 40 students. It's more of a challenge if you have 180 students, which some teachers are going to have. When that's the case, you might say, I'm going to, you know, do 18 of these a day. They're largely based on a template, but they're slightly personalized. And every one of my students gets a new email every 2 weeks. But this is super manageable. That's part of what I love. It's easy to manage. It's built on a template, but it still is customizable and says, I care. Number six is the short text check-in. With this option, you can ask your students to use the chat function to send questions or comments as you go. This is something that they might do during a project where they give you their project progress and their feedback on how that's going. But it can also be a way to just do the check-in in a way that's more about how they're doing emotionally, how they're doing socially. Some classes might use an option like Slack or Voxer to do the check-in, so they remain, you know, largely asynchronous, but they have a voice component and a text component. Just make sure that if that's the case, that you're following the actual privacy laws, right? So make sure that, you know, students are the right age, that you have the permission in terms of age, that you're following SIPA and COPPA if you live in the United States. Spend some time talking to your tech director to make sure you're using the right communication tools. Idea number seven is surveys. Ask students to fill out a course survey where they share what their experiences have been. And some of these might be about how they're doing. It could be how a question about, say, creative risk-taking or how they're doing with projects or whatever it may be. And the surveys then inform your next steps as a teacher, but it also allows students to feel known. It's a really quick pulse check. What I love about surveys is that they have some quantitative components, right? So on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being you're totally lost, 5 being you really understand what's going on. How do you feel in the course right now? And it just gives you some of that quantitative feedback. Number 8 is the scheduled conferences. This is one of the more challenging ones. It's tricky. It takes time, but it's basically saying, we're going to do these 5-minute conferences. And I'm going to meet one-on-one with specific students to help them along the way. Number 9 is similar, but instead of a scheduled video conference, it's a phone call. Some of these are the type that teachers will only do if a student is in crisis because we have limited time and resources. And then other teachers will say, you know, I can't do video conferences and phone calls with all of my students all the time, but I'm going to make sure that this semester or this quarter, every kid gets at least one one-on-one conference. So it's up to you how you organize it. Again, it also depends on, you know, how your classroom is structured. If you're teaching synchronously and you have kids in person, you might run some of those conferences in person. Then you might have students doing independent practice or working on projects, and you pull in some students at home for those one-on-one conferences as well. I think it's also important that we pull students, ask them what works best for them. So, you know, I love asking questions like, how can I help you? What are some areas where you need support? What are challenges that you might have in remote learning? When is the best time to reach you? How do you want me to communicate with you? You know, some students, they don't want as high of a frequency. Some students want a little bit more time. What is your preferred method of communication? Do you prefer email, chat, phone call, video conference? What type of feedback do you prefer on your work? Video feedback, audio feedback, comments that are typed up? What is something former teachers have done that helped you feel known and appreciated? And what is something former teachers have done that helped you stay on track in your course? So these questions are things that you can put into a survey, which again was one of your options for a check-in. But there are also things that you can do as sort of an onboarding experience where you meet one-on-one with students and just find out, you know, what is their preferred method of communication? Ultimately, the issue of student engagement is one of self-direction. And when students fail to show up or turn in their work, they're often failing to be self-directed in their learning. As teachers, we can empower students to own the learning process, but this begins by building relationships and checking in on students. When students feel known and respected, they are more likely to engage in meaningful projects that build on voice and choice. These check-ins can help students develop their sense of agency, and it can give them more of a sense of belonging in the larger community. So with that in mind, I hope these are some ideas that you can use and some things that you have found helpful. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you like this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get this podcast? Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.